Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what the Apostle John taught about a genuine belief in God and a belief in the reality of sin. So let's open our Bibles and look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 again together. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in the last broadcast, we were studying the concept that John promotes in these six verses, that it is the responsibility and duty of the leaders of the church to identify those who are truly saved and those who are only deceived into thinking that they are saved. And we saw last time that we as leaders are held accountable by God if we do not warn the wicked to repent. If and when God's sure judgment against the unsaved comes, they will fall under God's wrath to be sure, but their blood will be upon our hands unless we are faithful to warn them. We also saw last time how that this carefree attitude about sin in the modern church that says that being deceived is a private issue between that person and God and is nobody else's business cannot be backed up with either scripture or church history. So we saw that the real question is not do church leaders have the duty and the responsibility to warn the wicked, because the Bible clearly teaches that we do. No, the real question is just how do we identify people who are deceived into thinking that they are saved when they are actually lost, and how do we do this in accord with Scripture? Well, in the last six verses of 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle gives us the answer to that question by presenting two crucial doctrinal tests to determine who in the church is genuine and who is not. Those two doctrinal tests are, number one, an accurate and biblical belief in the character and nature of God, and number two, a genuine belief in and biblical understanding of sin. And on the last broadcast, we went over verse 6, and today I want to look closely at verse 7. So let's read that verse again together. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now in verse 6, John put forth one of his apostolic tests as to who is saved and who is not, by saying that if anyone says or thinks that he is saved, and yet walks in darkness, he is a liar, and does not walk in the truth. Now, if I were to set up a test like this and teach someone that if they don't meet my expectations, then they're really not saved, I would be rightly called a Judaizer and a legalist and a false teacher who was in effect adding to what inspired Scripture says about salvation. And everyone on the face of the earth could rightly ignore what I said about this. But John was able to impose this test upon the entire Christian church precisely because he was an apostle who was given authority by Jesus Christ himself, along with Peter, James, Paul, and the others, to set up or to establish the Christian church and all Christian doctrine and the rule and the practice of the Christian faith. John was empowered to issue this test by Christ himself, And this test in this passage here in 1 John is for every single Christian in every single church who lives in every single nation under every culture for all time. Christians who live in the first century were subject to this test, and Christians who live in the 21st century are subject to this test. This test is accurate and enforced on every single human being on earth who lays claim to Christ as Savior. And you either measure up to this test and pass it, or else you do not belong to Jesus Christ. You either pass this test given here by the Apostle John, or you are yet in your sins. So what is the test? Look at verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we are saved, we will walk in the light, and we will walk in that light to the same degree and to the same level as Jesus Christ is that light. And because of that walk, we will naturally have fellowship with all of those who are also walking in the light. Now, why is this? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. In other words, John is saying here that all saved people no longer walk in darkness, but they do walk in the light precisely because they are saved. Being saved, being born again, being cleansed from all sin is what gives me both the desire and the ability to walk out of darkness and into the light. You see, brothers and sisters, walking in the light and walking out of darkness in and of itself does not save you. That's true. Simply by adopting some kind of moral code into your life doesn't save anybody. That is true. But it is also true to say that all saved people do not walk in the darkness, but they walk in the light. In other words, walking in the light and away from darkness is the result or the proof that Jesus' blood has cleansed me from all sin. And that's exactly what happened to me. Before I was saved, I didn't care one whit about God. I wanted to do what was fun, what was popular, what brought me attention, and what brought me a feeling of belonging and what gave me personal satisfaction. I couldn't have cared less what pleased God or what brought honor and glory to God. I only dwelt on what would bring me what I wanted. I didn't want to get in trouble, though, so periodically I was willing to modify my behavior in order to escape punishment or to fool somebody long enough to get what I wanted. But even in those times when I modified my behavior, I was doing that for self-centered reasons and not never to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So I gave to the poor, not because it honored God, but so I could get a good feeling about myself. I helped people, but once again, I didn't help anyone because it was a form of worship to Jesus Christ. I helped people because it made me feel better about my own personal goodness. I never read the Bible because it looked very boring to me. The only time I remember ever praying was when I thought I was going to die in Hurricane Camille and when my grandfather had a heart attack. I went to church, but only because my parents made me, and I was an altar boy because that allowed me to play cards during the service with another altar boy in the back instead of having to listen. I played football, went to parties, loved the girls, and made the honor roll, primarily because I was afraid of the wrath of my father. So I guess you could say that I was a red-blooded all-American male. But I was lost. I was a real nice guy, but lost. I was popular, but lost. I was fun-loving and energetic and upbeat, but I was lost. My friends and I would go buy several cases of beer and go to the football stadium and drink until late on a Friday night, talking about things like girls and heaven and girls and hell and girls and God and girls and eternity. I never maliciously hurt anybody, but I couldn't have cared less about God. A lot of people liked me. I was very popular, always around a crowd, and was the life of the party. I was asked to go to West Point in Annapolis, and several college scouts scouted for me and wanted me to attend, and I had my sights on becoming either a high-powered lawyer and making tons of money in business. But something happened to me on the way to fulfilling all my dreams. On Friday, June the 28th, 1971, I was riding around the football stadium drinking beer with a guy named Rio Graves, and we saw the lights of the stadium were lit up. We wondered why cars were parked there since it was way too early in the year for football. We finally decided that it must be a semi-pro practice session, and so we drove up and got out. And I remember walking into the stadium thinking to myself, well, it won't be a total waste of time because we will probably meet some girls in here. We found a seat, and I was looking for the team when I noticed that there was a wooden platform down on the track. And over the top was the sign that read, "Just as I am." Now, I had no idea what that meant. I was looking through the crowd and saw some people that I knew and was waving at them when a young man by the name of James Robison got up to speak. I didn't have a clue what he was going to talk about, but when he started talking, my whole life changed. This strange man told me that I was lost, that my sin condemned me before Almighty God, that I was lost and that I was helpless to save myself. He told me that if I would repent and trust in Jesus, that I would be saved. And the more he talked, the guiltier I felt. I looked down and my hands looked dirty, and I began to rub them on my pants, trying to wipe away the stain that I saw. And I didn't know how I knew it, but I knew that what this man was saying was true. I knew that I was lost and that Jesus could save my soul. So we invited whoever to come down front, and I got up and started to walk down those bleachers. And people started coming out of the crowd to run up and hug me. They were crying and told me that they had been praying for me. One woman told me she had been praying for me for 2 years. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know one single verse of Scripture. I didn't even know John 3:16. I had no idea what I was going to do except that I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was headed for hell. And I didn't bow my head. I looked right at this man and begged God from the very depth of my heart to forgive me and to save my wretched soul. And he did. And that night interrupted all of my plans and changed all of my dreams and altered my life forever. I began to desire to walk on a straight and narrow path. I began to devour the very Bible that used to bore me. I went to church every time the doors were opened. I prayed all the time. I went to sleep reading the Bible. I took the Bible to school with me. I told everybody that I knew what Jesus had done for me, my parents, my friends, my teachers, all of my relatives, until I drove them all crazy. I passed out tracts at Edgewater Mall parking lot on Saturday afternoon and in front of the nasty bookstore in downtown Gulfport. I started a Bible study group, and within 2 months we had 8 young people in that Bible study. Now, why did I do that? What happened to me? Why did I all of a sudden begin to love the things that I used to hate and hate the things that I used to love? Was it just a fad that I was going through because I was some stage in my life? Was it because I was a great person? No. It was because I really did get saved that night, and God changed my nature. And over 40 years later, I'm still preaching the gospel that I used to make fun of. And I am loving the Christ who saved my wretched soul. When I changed, it created no small stir. It upset and worried everybody who knew me. It was a dramatic change. It was radical. And it was complete. I no longer had any desire to walk in darkness, and I began to love the light. This is what John meant when he says here in these two verses, so all we need to examine our own hearts, dear friends, to see if we are really in the faith. Because he who walks in darkness is not saved, and he who is saved walks in the light. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.